We will read Genesis chapter 24, verses 42 through 49. Although in this message we will not really exegete or expound our passage, we're going to have a unique message in a sense that it's a topic that I think is rarely preached, silent prayer. And if you are visiting with us, this message is part of our series on the order of our public worship here in our church. As you may notice in our order of worship or liturgy, our worship begins with call to worship. We already studied that last Sunday. And so with God's help, we will continue our series. And the next element of worship here is silent prayer. I confess, as I was doing my research on this topic, I found it hard because there is really no much material on this topic. So just keep that in your mind. Genesis chapter 24, verses 42 through 49. This is when Abraham asked his servant, the oldest of his household, to look for a wife for his son. Genesis 24, starting from verse 42. I came today to the spring and said, O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, if now you are prospering the way that I go, behold, I am standing by the spring of water. Let the virgin who comes out to draw water, to whom I shall say, please give me a little water from your jar to drink. And who will say to me, drink, and I will draw for your camels also. Let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son. So the one speaking here obviously is Abraham's servant. And then look at verse 45. Before I had finished speaking in my heart or praying in my heart, behold, Rebekah came out with her water jar on her shoulder, and she went down to the spring and drew water. I said to her, please let me drink. She quickly let down her jar from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will give your camels drink also. So I drank, and she gave the camels drink also. Then I asked her, whose daughter are you? She said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him. So I put the ring on her nose and the bracelets on her arms. Then I bowed my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who had led me by the right way to take the daughter of my master's kinsman for his son. Now then, if you are going to show steadfast love and faithfulness to my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. We can stop there. May the Lord bless the reading of His holy word. In our public worship, there is a twofold movement. There is a movement from heaven to earth. God condescends to us and He speaks to us as His covenant people. And there's also a movement from earth to heaven. When we, God's covenant people, respond to God, when we address Him in singing, in our prayer, in the giving of our offerings, and so on and so forth. And so, in true worship, there is a dialogue or an interchange between God and His people. And that illustrates the covenant between the Lord and His people. In our order of worship, as I mentioned already, it begins with God's call to worship, in which God Himself is calling His covenant people to worship Him. God is calling us directly from His Word. And then we respond to Him with a silent prayer. And so with God's help, we want to focus our attention on this element of worship, namely silent prayer. Now, you might ask, is silent prayer biblical? You might ask me and say, Pastor Brian, please show me from God's Word that we are commanded to pray silently. Well, my response to that question is, I can't. Because there is no clear or explicit command in the Bible in which we are commanded to pray silently. However, we see instances in the Word of God where silent prayer is practiced. Here in the text that we read, we see Abraham's servant praying silently. Look at verse 45. He says, "Before I had finished speaking or praying in my heart." So here, Abraham's servant is praying silently in his heart. And God blessed, as we see later, God blessed that kind of prayer. We also remember the prayer of Hannah. Remember? When Hannah, in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, when she prayed to the Lord. Let me read that passage. "As Hannah continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart," same expression that we read here in our passage. "So Hannah was speaking in her heart, only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli took her to be a drunken woman." We know the story. Because Hannah was praying silently, Eli thought that Hannah was drunken. But that's not the case. And also, we read in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, and here, though Jesus does not specifically mention silent prayer, He does talk about praying alone. Pray alone. Of course, when you pray alone, you can pray loudly. But I think you will agree with me, when we pray alone, most of the time we pray silently. At least in my case. I don't know about you, so I cannot speak for you. But when I am alone, yes, sometimes I pray aloud. But most of the time, I pray silently. And also, Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, to pray without ceasing. To pray without ceasing. obviously, there are times that we cannot pray vocally. For example, when, let's say, you are inside your classroom, boys and girls, and you really need some help from God. Maybe you are about to take your exam. Now, if you pray loudly, maybe your classmates might be upset with you. You don't want to disturb them, and therefore you pray silently. And so the occasion necessitates silent prayer. And so we see silent prayer. And we do that also in our public worship service. But here's the question. What is silent prayer? How does it benefit us? Well, I have four thoughts here. First, silent prayer is our first activity in public worship service. Silent prayer is our first activity in public worship service. Now, please note, though, that in other liturgies, silent prayer comes first before call to worship. But in our liturgy, in our order of worship, silent prayer comes after call to worship. And frankly, I like this arrangement because I believe that worship service must begin with God's call to worship, with God, and we respond to Him. Now, I hope we realize that the Bible does not give us an exact order of worship. In other words, when you read the Bible, you cannot find a specific order of worship or public worship. You cannot find that. And as a result, you will see a variety of structures or patterns of order of worship, even our own denomination. You go, you visit another URC church, silent prayer is the first element of worship that you will see. Here in our church, the first element of worship is call to worship. And that's because the Bible does not give us an exact order of worship. Nevertheless, we see a great degree of similarity in the elements found in worship service. What are those elements? Well, you see prayer, you see salutation or greetings, singing, giving of offerings, scripture reading, preaching, benediction. So whenever you visit a URC church, you will see those elements of worship. Maybe the order is different. Now, why is it that we have order of worship? Well, yes, the Bible does not tell us exactly how our worship service should be, but we want to worship God in order. And that's what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40. Let all things be done decently and in order. Imagine if there is no order of worship in our church. Maybe the first thing that I'm going to do as I lead this worship service is preach the Word of God. Or maybe next time we will give our offerings first. So I think it's good that we have our order of worship as a guide. But this order, keep in mind, it's not something that we cannot change. We can change it, maybe if we think that we can improve it. But I think what we have right now is good already, so don't change it. Otherwise, I will have to change my series on this topic. Now, again, as I said, our worship service begins with call to worship. And the very first thing that we do in response to God's call is pray silently. Is pray silently. I think that's a good start. It is a good start before we do other activities such as the singing of God's word or singing of hymns or hearing God's law or giving our offering, especially before we hear the preaching of God's word. It gives us an opportunity to pray first to God. Now, I don't know what you say in your silent prayer, especially we only have, I think, 30 seconds. Maybe short for some, maybe too long, 30 seconds. But during that time, that moment of silence, you can thank God. You can say to God, Lord, thank you so much for calling me to worship you. You can also pray for the pianist or for the organist. You can pray for me as I lead this worship service. You can say, Lord, please bless our minister. Help him, oh God. Give him wisdom that he needs. You can pray for yourself. Lord, you know that I am so exhausted and so tired. I wasn't able to take a nap this afternoon. So please, Lord, give me extra measure of grace, so that I can concentrate worshiping you. Oh Lord, please help me, Lord, because right now there's a lot of things going on in my mind. Lord, I cannot really focus on you. Oh, I'm remembering this problem and that problem. Lord, please help me. You see, with this silent prayer, it allows you to pray to the Lord. You can pray for your family, parents. This is the time for you to pray for your children. Lord, please help my children. I know some of my children probably don't want to be here right now. They would rather go elsewhere. But Lord, please, you can do that silently. Please, Lord, bless my children. Or you can pray for your children who are not here. Lord, one of my children is struggling right now. Lord, please remember him or remember her. I don't know where she is or where he is, but Lord, please condescend to him or to her, wherever she is, wherever he is. Lord, please bless my precious child. So what a blessing it is then to have silent prayer. This is the very first activity that we do in our worship service. Second, silent prayer is personal. It is a personal activity of our soul. Now, remember that silent prayer is different from congregational prayer. There is a difference between the two. At least in emphasis. In our congregational prayer, and we will come to that, the Lord willing, in our messages in the future, when we do our congregational prayer, the emphasis is on corporate or public prayer. And it is me praying on behalf of our congregation, the minister. But in silent prayer, the emphasis is on individual or personal prayer. And this is wonderful. You know why? Because this is the time when you can be yourself. This is the time when you can be really open to God. You can pray in your own words. Now, let's be honest now here. There are things that we cannot say in public prayer. Now, even in myself, when I lead our congregation in congregational prayer, there are things that I cannot just say to the Lord in our public or corporate prayer. Why? Well, maybe I don't want to be misunderstood. Maybe there are things that are too personal that I don't want you to hear them. And you have your own personal things too that you don't want others to know, right? And so now you have this special moment, silent prayer, in which you can say anything to God. Now, I'm glad that you don't hear my silent prayer. And I'm glad because you would be shocked what I say to God. Sometimes I would say, Lord, please. Of course, I have many prayers. It differs, of course. Ugly prayers. But I don't care because it is between me and God. You don't hear it. Now, I confess in my congregational prayer, there's that sense of you want to be able to say things that, okay, if so-and-so hears this kind of prayer, I want to be sensitive. I want to be sensitive. Now, in silent prayer, forget about sensitivity because it is between you and God. You can just tell anything to Him. You can bring anything to Him. Even your deepest struggle in life. You know, we have members in our church who don't want their names to be mentioned during congregational prayer. You know, I would, for example, visit so-and-so and I'll say, do you want me to pray for you? Oh, no. Please don't pray for me during our congregational prayer. And I honor that. I understand that. And sometimes too, the concerns are too personal and sometimes can be too embarrassing. You don't want others to know about that. And so we thank God that before we even continue worshiping God, we are given this opportunity to pray silently. It is between you and God. You can say anything that you want to God during this time. And usually it is extemporaneous, coming from the bottom of your heart. You can tell God about your struggle in life. Lord, I struggle with this sin. This sin really bothers me right now, oh God. Lord, please help me. Take this sin away from me, oh God. This sin keeps disturbing me from worshiping you, oh God. Now you can say that to Him. And you can even be more specific. You know, congregational prayer tends to be vague or more general than specific. And frankly, when we pray in public, you know, we say, Lord, please forgive me my sin. But we are sometimes hesitant to really say what it is, what kind of sin it is. It is a sin of bitterness, a sin of anger, a sin of malicious thought, pornography, a sin of dishonoring your parent. What it is exactly? In silent prayer, you can be open to God. After all, He knows everything about us. We read that in our praise selection. Oh Lord, David says, You have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. And so you can be honest to God. And you can tell Him, if you don't feel like worshiping God at this very moment, be honest to Him. And you can say to God, Lord, I'm not in a good mood right now, God, to worship you, I confess. I just want to be home, O God. You can say to the Lord in silent prayer, He knows everything about you. And you can even say, Lord, oh Lord, please help me. Help me, oh God. I'm so burdened, oh God. You can tell Him if you have lost your first love. You can tell Him if you are no longer as active as you used to be in the ministry, worship service. You can tell God that for you now worship becomes too ritualistic or formalistic. You don't enjoy it anymore. Lord, I don't enjoy worshiping you anymore. Use silent prayer to confess that kind of sin. Maybe there's someone here. Maybe you don't like that person or that person. And whenever you see that person, it bothers you. Be honest to the Lord and say, Lord, whenever I see that person, Lord, I can't really worship you. Be open to him. I mean, the Bible says, Matthew 5, verses 23 and 24, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. If you find it hard to be reconciled to your brother or sister in the Lord, be honest again to the Lord. Lord, please help me. Lord, tell me, what shall I do, oh God? Shall I talk to him or her? Lord, give me wisdom. Because whenever I see him or her, I can't really worship you. I can't concentrate. Be honest to the Lord. Lord, change me. Change my attitude. Help me to worship you in the beauty of your holiness. The psalmist says, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. Remember that we are worshiping a holy God. You cannot deceive him. We cannot deceive him. If you came to this, into this place of worship with unclean hearts, God knows it. He knows it. And so before you even sing praises to him and give your offerings, we have this time, silent prayer, where you can confess your sin to the Lord and ask him to forgive you. It is personal. Now, third, silent prayer prepares us to worship God. It is, in this sense, a silent prayer is preparatory. It sets the tone of worship service. Like what I said in my first point, the very first thing that we do in our public worship is pray silently. It prepares us to worship God in spirit and in truth. Now, of course, preparation for worship service should be done prior to worship service, because silent prayer is now part of our worship service. However, again, if we are honest with ourselves, we sometimes, if not oftentimes, we find it hard to have time to prepare for worship service. Now, let me ask you with love, how many of you found time, maybe 2 minutes, 3 minutes, to prepare for tonight's worship service? Did you prepare for this worship service? Did you take time, a moment of silence? Did you pray silently to God, asking him to bless you as you worship him? Maybe many of you would say, I'm afraid not. I think I don't know if I did that. If I have done that, I don't know what you're talking about, Mr. Preacher. Prepare before coming into God's presence to worship him. Yes, we need to prepare. But the truth is, sometimes it's hard for us to find time to prepare for public worship. And so are we not glad that we have silent prayer? Yes, maybe 30 seconds. But this will condition our souls before we continue worshiping him. It's like going to the gym. When you go to exercise, a trainer, someone who is skilled in bodybuilding or physical exercise, will tell you to first stretch your body. Before you lift 200 pounds, you need to first stretch your body. Why? In order to prepare your body for that heavy task of lifting 200 pounds of weights. Now, the same is true. Before we hear the Word of God, it's not easy to hear God's Word. If it is not easy for me to preach, I understand it is not easy for you to listen to God's Word, to listen to the preaching of God's Word. 40 minutes of you just sitting there and listening to God's Word, that's a heavy duty. It's not a light work. It is a heavy work. And so we have silent prayer as a warm up to condition, to prepare our souls for the Word of God. That's why silent prayer is preparatory. And so take advantage of that. If you don't have time to do that at home, here's the time for you to condition your souls before you even continue worshiping Him. And finally, silent prayer gives us an opportunity to have a moment of silence. Now, as you may notice, all my points are really related to each other. Now, yes, we only have 30 seconds. I think, I don't know, maybe a minute of silent prayer. But, like what I said, when was the last time you spent, let's just say, 30 seconds with God in silent prayer? How about today? Did you spend 30 seconds with God? Just, did you have a silent prayer with God? Now, if you are a mother of maybe 6 children, small children, or 4 small children, that's hard. It's hard to find even 30 seconds of silence. To have silent prayer, that's hard. Well, if you are a father, you work. I trust not on Sunday unless you are a doctor or you really have to work out of mercy maybe or necessity. But even that, it's hard to find time. We're busy. We're just busy. And so we thank God that even for 30 seconds, precious seconds, 30 seconds, we can be silent and we can talk to God. Away from your children, even, yes, your children are still with you, sitting probably with you. Away from your work, away from your spouse, away from anything, just between you and God. 30 seconds. Having that silence, praying to the Lord. Someone said, in the midst of a whirlwind of activity that we have so often misunderstood as important or necessary, we have missed the beauty and necessity of learning the discipline of silence before God. In our call to worship, I read from Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 20. The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. But let's confess, it is extremely difficult for us to keep silence before God. It has become so difficult because of our society, because of our culture, in which the pace of life is so rapid. Pam, 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 pam. And so to find that moment of silence is so difficult now. But praise be to God, in our worship service, you are given this special opportunity to take time with God. Just you and God. You know, a survey was conducted about the obstacles to growth survey. In other words, the question is this. What is the main obstacle to your spiritual growth? 62% of women and 61% of men reported busyness as interfering with their relationship with God. Imagine, 62% of women and 61% of men here in North America reported busyness as interfering with their relationship with God. The busyness of life gets in the way of developing my relationship with God. Busyness. I don't need to explain this. You know what I mean. Let's not pretend. You know exactly what I mean when I say this. Busyness. What is the opposite of busyness? You have here silence. Silent prayer. And so I pray that use it. Sometimes we think that silent prayer is just maybe an added element of worship. It's not really important. Maybe whoever came up with this order of worship didn't know what to have after call to worship. And so maybe they just added silent prayer. No, it is an important element of our worship service. You don't miss silent prayer, it will affect the rest of your worship service. You don't pray to God. You don't ask Him to bless you, to help you. You don't pray for me. You don't pray for the organist. You don't pray for the pianist. You don't pray for everyone involved in our worship service. That can affect our corporate worship. You don't pray for yourself. Then you will end up leaving this church with a lot of complaints. You will become a murmurer, not a worshiper. So let us not underestimate the significance, importance, and power of silent prayer. We need to keep silence. Silent prayer helps us to make a transition from our house to God's house. Now you can remind yourself, okay, I am no longer in my house. Forget about the mess that you left in your house when you didn't have time to clean the house. Forget about what you need to do tomorrow. Remember now that you are in God's house. And God says, let all my people keep silence before me. And so this allows us to focus on God, to realize who God is. Yeah, it's like a shift of gear. Okay, now I am in God's house. I need to be still, as God says. Be still. Be quiet. Be silent. And what are we supposed to do? Are we just to be silent and do nothing? You know, like the idea of emptying your mind. No, 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 no. The Bible says, be still and know. You need to do something. You need to know what? That I am your God. That's what we want to do in those 30 seconds. We need to be silent and know that we are sitting or standing before this great God, before this majestic, awesome God, that we are now going to worship Him. And so we can sing with the hymn writer, take time to be holy The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret or in silence with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus like Him, thou shalt be thy friends in thy conduct, His likeness shall see. Let us pray. Lord, indeed we thank you so much for this element of our worship service, silent prayer. We thank you that you are giving us time to take a moment of silence, just to be still, to be quiet, and know that you are our God, that you will be exalted among the nations, that you will be exalted in the earth. And we thank you because when we pray to you, the devil trembles. For the devil knows that we are praying to the Most High God, the God who is omnipotent, the God who created us, and the God who gave His Son for us. Lord, bless our worship service and help us indeed to be faithful worshipers of yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.